This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:19 in the morning. You're listening to The Morning Run on Monday, the 7th of March. I'm Shazana with Xiaoning and Chen Li. But in the meantime, we're looking at healthcare legislation because Parliament is currently in session until March 24th, and a number of bills are expected to be tabled for reading, including on healthcare legislation. So one of the outstanding bills from the last parliamentary session was the amendment to the Prevention and Control of Infectious Diseases Act, also known as Act 342, which was tabled for the first reading in December.
And the government had proposed a number of changes to the law that, among others, would impose a harsher penalty on individuals and corporations for offences under the Act. There was an enormous public backlash over the proposed amendments, which was seen as disproportionate to the wrongdoing, and also conferring an extraordinary power to the Health Director General.
So as a result, the Health Minister, Kari Jamaludin, postponed the second and third reading of the bills to allow more time for consensus building. But will the Act 342 Amendment Bill be revived during this parliamentary sitting? And has it been revised to take into account all the different concerns of the different stakeholders?
So for views on this and other health legislation being put forth, we speak to Bu Sulin, editor-in-chief of the medical news portal Code Blue. Sulin, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us. Maybe you could help give us a status update of what the what's going on with the amendment bill to Act 342. I mean, is there any indication at this point when the government will continue its tabling, if at all?
Morning, Shazana. It doesn't look like the bill may be tabled in the current parliament meeting, just because that there's other major legislation that needs to be passed first, namely the anti-hopping law. So it is possible that the second reading could be postponed to make space for the anti-hopping law.
Now, I'm just curious, if we rewind a little bit, we know that you are concerned over the tougher sanctions. But in the first place, should we have an amendment? Is it something that we should urgently look at, but maybe perhaps not in the current words, in the current form, words and format?
Well, the Ministry of Health maintains that the Prevention and Control of Infectious Diseases Act must be amended to take into account current times, because it's a 1988 law. But having said that, a lot of the amendments, the major amendments anyway, are in the bill, not just the massive and unjust, completely unjust penalties. You know, they also want to introduce new provisions, like expanding the powers of the Health Director General, which, again, is quite concerning because the way the provision is written, it's very vague. It gives very wide latitude of powers for the Director General without any check and balance. So, so with these issues, it's my belief that you cannot criminalize personal health behaviors. The government previously claimed that these punishments are needed to prevent people from breaking health violations. But you can see, I mean, we've already done this during the emergency ordinance that was in effect for most of last year. And under the emergency ordinance, compounds for individuals were increased to maximum 10,000 ringgit, maximum 50,000 ringgit for companies. And this was in effect from March to December. And we know that last year saw the most daily cases rise to over 22,000 at the end of August. And last year alone saw 31,000 total deaths out of the 33,000 cumulative deaths that we have to date. So clearly, harsher punishments during the emergency ordinance did not curb COVID infection or mortality.
So what would help then, Sulin, in terms of preventing health violations? If harsher penalties aren't an effective deterrent, what do you think that the government should be focusing on, I suppose, if they want to get people to be responsible about the health laws?
So that's a problem itself, because you're framing it in a context of health laws and health penalties for health violations. I mean, if people fail to take to practice certain health measures, that should not be criminalized, because health, when it comes to changing health behavior, it requires a lot of time, a lot of communications and engagement to change personal health behavior. So what the Ministry of Health really should do is just issue guidelines like the US CDC. And this is crucial too, because when you, you know, when you criminalize, you should only criminalize something where if you cause direct harm. And with infectious diseases, especially a respiratory virus like COVID, you can't prove that someone infected someone else unless you do genomic sequencing. And even if you do prove that, should that person be penalized, be subject to criminal sanctions just for infecting someone else? No, you don't criminalize patients. So what you can do is always communicate. That's all you need to do to change health behavior so that people understand. And then you don't need the police just hovering around to force people to follow certain behaviors. They will naturally do it because they understand the science. You know, for example, wearing face masks. Yeah, we should wear face masks when we're around other people. But if you turn it into a criminal offense to not wear a face mask, then when people say visit another household, right, at home, in their private homes, and obviously there are no police around, and they don't wear their mask. See, that's what you don't want. You want people to still follow health guidelines even when they are not being watched by the authorities. And with infectious diseases, especially with a novel disease like COVID, the science changes as we learn more and more about the virus. So at the start of the pandemic, for example, masks were not recommended. But now we know that we should wear face masks to help prevent infection. And even that has changed. Cloth masks, we know, are now useless against Omicron. It's nothing more than facial decorations. And instead, what's recommended now is the N95 and KF94 mask.
Yeah, Sulin, I hear you. But the issue sometimes is that Malaysians aren't very disciplined. We tend to break the law, especially if nobody's watching us. So I wonder whether we still need to have a bit of a carrot and stick approach when it comes to health violations. Is there a sweet spot, a balance perhaps then?
No, I still maintain that all health guidelines and health measures when it comes to personal behavior should just remain guidelines. And I believe that even without the punishment, even without the 1,000 ringgit compound, most people were already wearing face masks. You know, this is not America. Face masks are not alien to our culture. So most people are already wearing it. And we know that even perfect compliance with SOPs does not guarantee that you won't get infected. So from the public health perspective, if the if authorities want to prevent an outbreak, an epidemic from getting worse, from overwhelming hospitals, so that is that you help prevent the healthcare system from being overloaded by early diagnosis and treatment. And at the start of the pandemic, it is true. Early diagnosis helps you catch people who are infected early, and then you implement quarantine. So all that, you know, the faster FTTIS response, that helps to prevent the healthcare system from being overloaded.
Okay.
Not from punishing someone who doesn't wear a face mask.
Yes, Celine. So diverting away from the Act 342, MOH is also looking at to table a tobacco and smoking control bill, which would include plans to introduce a generational smoking ban for those born after 2005. Why doesn't self-regulation work in this context, which is to promote a smoke-free lifestyle?
Okay, Shazana, I generally don't believe in state intervention in most things, but nicotine really is highly addictive. And I personally think it's not a bad idea to try to stop entire generations from not knowing what a cigarette is.
Okay, so you're definitely in support of that kind of control in terms of decision making for people on smoking, essentially.
Are you not worried, though, that it might drive the tobacco trade underground and, you know, create an illicit trade?
Yeah, illicit cigarettes are definitely a problem. And it's something that the Ministry of Health cannot ignore and push to another department and say it's their problem, it's not ours. I mean, this problem requires everyone to work together. But I think just because you have illicit trade does not necessarily mean that we shouldn't try to regulate or, in this case, to prohibit a certain product at all, because it's a very addictive and bad product for us.
Sulin, while we have you on the line, we have about 1 minute left to the segment, but you've been following the tragic case of Revnish Kumar, who died 2 weeks after receiving a COVID-19 vaccine. MOH is still conducting investigations into the cause of death, although they have also been in touch with the family. What's your assessment of how this case has been handled, and what's at stake for MOH if this case is not satisfactorily resolved?
I don't think the case has been handled very well. MOH only took action after Ravnesh's parents' video went viral about a month after the boy died on January 16. I just want to make it clear that his sudden death is really a complete mystery at this point, based on what MOH has said, based on what his mom has said about his prior condition before he passed away. He may not have died from the vaccine, but the way the government is handling it is just very opaque and cavalier, even dismissive, I would say, of something as painful as the death of a child. And it's not just the health ministry, but also the education ministry, since the Ravnesh school allegedly prohibited him from attending school without COVID vaccination. And this is unconstitutional and violates MOE's own federal policy on not using vaccine mandates in school.
Okay,
so the government must resolve this in a much better way.
Thank you so much. That was Bu Su Lin, editor-in-chief at Code Blue, the medical news portal, talking to us about healthcare regulations and ending the conversation there with just a comment on how the cases of deaths possibly related to the COVID-19 vaccine have been handled. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.